CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. Here we go, get started. Leanne has been without water pretty much the whole weekend, so she smells insanitary. It's just horrible.
I need one of those Australian hats to bat away the flies. But I need to wear it around my waist.
Oh, my God. Did you really have no water all weekend?
Yeah, it's been a long slog. There's been quite a few areas of Johannesburg that have been affected.
Ugh.
So it's not just a Leanne problem. Here we are.
There are going to be a lot of people who pitch up at work today and they're going to stink.
Sure. I think everyone's done their best to go to other people's houses to shower, to use pool water to flush, you know.
Yeah.
Buy water from the garage to brush your teeth.
Use the water in the cistern of the toilet to brush your teeth.
There's no water in the cistern of the toilet. We wish. No, but apparently it's all over. I migrated to my brother's house, as you can see.
Yeah.
Because I had load shedding this morning. But everything is apparently back to normal in terms of water.
So you're gonna hazard a trip home and see if it's all switched on.
Yeah,
wow.
I'll see if hopefully the cats have run me a nice hot bath with the mimosa. Let's see what happens.
First thing in the morning, the cats have poured you mimosa. Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, I had a good weekend. I'm not going to moan considering what you've had to put up with no water. It was good. What did I even do? Oh, Friday I had some people around here, which was great. And it rained. Jesus, did it rain on Friday afternoon.
Ooh.
Wow.
It
came down in sheets. So, I mean, it's boring to talk about the weather, right? But I do love something about that kind of high felt weather where in the afternoon you suddenly get this torrential downpour. And then within an hour afterwards, it's like bright and shiny again. I mean, there was still a bit of light after the rain must have been around 5-ish, and then, you know, by 6, before the sun had even gone down, the sky was this beautiful pink, orange, purple color, and it just looked beautiful for 360 degrees. It's really spectacular. You just don't get that anywhere else in the world, and it always feels like it goes on forever and ever and ever. You know, you look up at the sky, and it's just endless, whereas there are places in the world, especially in you know, Europe, the Northern Hemisphere generally, it just doesn't feel that way. Obviously, I'm talking about, you know, the few places I've been as opposed to everywhere, but it's just so beautiful. Really is special.
Yeah, for sure. We're lucky, considering we're in somewhat of a concrete jungle. We're quite lucky.
Yeah. And then I did go to a beautiful birthday lunch on Sunday for a friend of mine, and it was just really special. You know, they had this magnificent lunch that a friend of mine organized for her. And just, you know, again, beautiful summer, South Africans enjoying themselves, getting ready for December. You can feel there's that energy in the air. It's just amazing. It's really, really nice. Love it. Can't get enough of it.
I had that experience again, which is just so familiar and I really love it, is when it's rugby time on the weekends and you go to the shop. And I've mentioned it before, they're selling boerewors rolls outside. There's a nice little queue forming.
Yeah.
Everyone's excited. And the men are all in their slip-slops running around, clappity, 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 clap, so happy with beers under one arm and bread rolls in the other.
Yeah.
Just so happy.
That's good. It's the best. So here are a couple of comments for you, Leanne. So first of all, someone says, Juliana says, you're dirty, but we love you. That's good. That's relief.
Dirty.
We could do with some of that rain here in PE. Well, you chose to live in shitty PE, Jean. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I have no sympathy for PE. She Is Lit joins us for the first time this morning. Here live for the first time with my boyfriend, who now loves the show so much because I always played around him. And he likes Leanne since 5FM, so it's a good morning for us. All right, well, you two. What a power couple.
Very good.
You've turned him into a listener of ours. This is good. This is very good news. I'm happy to have you both here. Excellent. We needed canoes to get to an event. It was hectic but incredible, says Ruth, after all that rain on Friday. It sounds like the only time men are happy, 3Anne, is when they've got their slops going slap, slap, slap on the underside of their foot, according to George. All right, well.
The rest of the time they're nasty and
just
abusive
and angry and grumpy. You know?
Useless.
Yeah. All right, well. We've got to take your messages and calls this morning, whatever you've got on your mind. You can send it to us straight away on the YouTubes. You can also send us a WhatsApp to 071-783-6214. I haven't promoted the WhatsApp number for a while. So, you know, when I don't do that, then people forget that they can send voice notes. So let us know what's on your mind. All right. I'm really nervous about something. I'm nervous about spending money at the moment. Jesus, I know I'm not the only one. Like everything, I know it was Black Friday on Friday and everybody was looking at specials and all the rest of it. And today's Cyber Monday, so. Everything's.
Yeah, but you know,
it's so expensive.
Unless you're in the market for a new panographic TV or a king size bed.
A pornographic TV?
Panoramic, I meant to say. I said panographic.
Jesus.
Say, panoramic.
What's that?
Or like some big kitchen appliance, like a washing machine or something. It's like you don't end up saving that much.
No, what I mean is not just the saving. I'm thinking about how expensive it is to have the month of December. And, you know, most people are not – I've never had a bonus in December, so I don't know how that feels. Mm. I've always worked for myself or worked as a freelancer, so you don't get bonuses. So I don't know how it feels to get like a 13th check. I've always thought, wow, that must be nice, but it's never happened to me. And
same.
And I know that lots of people who are used to getting 13 checks will not be getting them this year because it's been a tough year. You know, the last 3 years, you could say. You're lucky to just have a job these days, so don't expect anything else. It's tough to balance the books financially in December. I don't want to start off on a Monday morning being a downer, but wow.
It's just realistic. I mean,
shit's expensive. Food is expensive. Yeah. Transport is expensive. Holidays. If you're actually going on holiday, and I've spoken to so many of my friends in the last couple of days who've said to me, no, they're not going anywhere this December. They're actually just staying at home because it's too, it's just too expensive. So I get that too. It doesn't have to be boring just because you're staying at home. But even if you're staying at home, it can be expensive. You know, whether you're entertaining people or you're going to other people, even if you're doing one of those, you know, very South African things of like, you bring your own meat and we'll buy it kind of thing. Even that can get expensive. So you've got to just be very disciplined over the next month because things can get crazily expensive very, very quickly.
Yeah. And it's tough on industries that were affected during COVID, who thought that once COVID was over, everything would be booming and people would be booking holidays and doing that sort of thing. But they can't because there are so many other influences that are keeping our pockets tight.
Well, I mean, Steve says, and this is right, people abusing credit cards with more interest hikes on the way. And George says also, you know, people spend all their money in credit card debt on December, and then they spend the next half a year paying that down because the interest rates are going up and it's going to be hectic. So you've got to be super disciplined, careful, gentle, easy on your credit card and your wallet. Otherwise, it's going to hurt. It's going
to
hurt badly.
If you've got to do the things that used to feel embarrassing before, like Googling student budget meals and budget shopping and cutting stuff up and freezing it and, you know, hoarding toilet paper.
Oh, my God. That sounds horrible. That sounds terrible, but it's
A reality.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've got lots of things to get to. We got some news later on, which, of course, is necessary to check out on a weekly basis. We got to start the week by knowing what's going on. Also going to have Dr. Hanan, obviously, who will be telling us it's going to be okay. We need to hear that now more than ever. We'll be talking about burnout and what you could do at this time of year to, you know, check yourself into a 3-week inpatient program. Because I've got a friend who did this.
Sounds good.
Yeah. She decided in, I think it was September. No, it was August. August, she decided I'm going to, because she phoned me from there. I said to her, where are you? She goes, I'm in this this facility, this institution. So I said to her, oh, really? Do you want me to come and break you out? She's like, no, I just checked in. But I'll talk about it when we got Dr. Hanan on later, because it's actually quite an interesting thing. And I have so much respect for people who can do that, who can say to themselves, all right, look, I think I need to just rebalance the humors, and I'm going to go and get myself sorted out, which is a tough decision to make for anybody. Mm-hmm. Because once you decide you're going to do that for those 3 weeks or whatever it is, you are pretty much at someone else's beck and call. You have to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. You have to do the things that they tell you to do there. They monitor you, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll find out about that. And then we've got Angela Young, who is a jewelry designer, a philanthropist, and the founder of the Impilo Collection Foundation. She's actually climbing. This is amazing. She just got back from Nepal. She summited the Mount Everest Island peak at 6,200 meters. She was with a group including a bunch of people who we know in South Africa. And she's also been doing amazing things at Paris Fashion Week and presented a collection at the end of September at the prestigious Place Vendôme in Paris, which she'll tell us about as well. And she's raising money for other people, which is, you know, here we are worrying about our own budgets, but there are people out there who are doing things for everyone else, which is spectacular.
Yeah.
So I thought good to have Angela on. She's actually friends with Jen Su and a bunch of other people we know, so it'll be good to get Angela on. I always see her at like these events when I go to them, which is rare. But she's a big supporter of these things. So we'll find out from her what she's up to.
She sounds like she has an interesting life. Certainly not an introvert.
Oh, no. She's lots of fun. There's an interest rate hike in the end of January, and there's another one now, says Ruth. I grow vegetables, so easy and big money is saved, says John. Okay, well, nice. I mean, I don't have a huge garden, and there's one part of my garden, I'd say it's probably maybe it's about a fifth of the total garden size, and I've tried really hard to grow things there, but it's just never worked.
Mm.
And it always looks terrible. And then I look at it and I go, ugh, this is a bit pathetic. So I've tried a couple of other strategies, which are still yet to be proven. But one of them was somebody said you take all these old Woolworths bags and you plant things in those.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, it was you. You see, you're a genius and I didn't even give you credit. And I'm going to try that and see how that goes for a while. But, I mean, what do you grow? Like, I will definitely use tomatoes, so I'll grow those. Lettuce is always
You need to, when you go and buy seeds or seedlings, you need to ask what's best to plant now. That's the whole thing is the seasonal stuff. And then you think something's dying off. In the meantime, it's supposed to be dying off at that time of the year. You haven't killed it.
Good
you
point.
Think, why are the leaves yellowing? But they should be yellowing at that time of the year.
Okay. But what do you grow? I mean, what would you grow that you use?
I've grown lots of things before. I've grown
what?
Just remembered. I've grown grew carrots, and those the stems of the carrots are above, obviously, as they're a root vegetable, and they seemed so lush and amazing. And I pulled out these enormous handfuls to reveal carrots the size of my pinky.
those are quite disappointing, miserable little carrots.
Chilies are fun to grow. Those are generally pretty hardy. Tomatoes are difficult because the birds get to them as soon as they turn red.
Mm.
So those are quite hard. You've got to make sure they're protected. Mealies are great, but they take up a lot of space and height.
Yeah.
A lot of height. beans, green beans are good to grow. Then things like a lemon tree can be amazing.
I got a lemon tree.
Yeah, those are awesome because you buy a pack of three lemons and you end up using one.
Yeah.
Especially if you're living alone. Strawberries you can grow.
Okay. All right. These are good. These are good. Lungile says we must get Joe Camino back on. And we will. He's in Hawaii. You know he lives in Hawaii now. Because he saved his money. And this is why I always say, good idea to get Joe to lecture the rest of us on what to do with our money. He lives in Hawaii now. He lives on an island.
Mm.
That is where he's retired. That
sounds nice.
That's good, huh? So we actually have... I think we've scheduled an appointment with Joe at some point on the show, so he'll be here soon. Don't worry. Lungile, good idea. Rebellious Ruth says, okay, hang on. She's talking to someone else. Here's Mapelo says, on my credit card, I never use an amount I won't be able to pay off by the end of the month. I hate owing those people. Absolutely. Yeah. And then George just wants to explain the Woolworths bags thing again. So go for it. Just, you know, for those people who didn't pay attention the first time.
So if you don't have much good deep soil or you have an area of sort of bad soil, mm-hmm. You use those black Woolies bags, the fabric ones.
Which we all have too many of lying around anyway, right?
Yeah, to use a good bit of potting soil and fertilizer, and you plant your little seedlings or seeds in those.
Mm-hmm.
What's nice is you can also move them if they need to be moved, if you find they're not performing well in one area. Yeah, it was a TikTok tip from a South African gardener who I got that idea from.
Right.
I think she was growing some herbs and potatoes. She was growing potatoes in those.
Stop looking down on little carrots, Leanne. They're good carrots, says Derek. And David tried to grow cannabis. It's a lot harder than you think. Honestly, weed is cheaper to buy. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I've never tried to grow it either. My sister has, and she's been moderately successful, but not enough, I think, to use. It just kind of grew in one corner of her garden. Tracy says, homegrown carrots don't look like the ones in the shop. They're rather odd. Mm-mm. We've grown and made our own olives, tomatoes, herbs, strawberries, blueberries, butter lettuce, baby spinach, etc. Wow, it sounds like your garden is like a fresh produce market. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Colleen says, amazing. I've grown everything in Woolies bags, butternut gems, pumpkin, climbing vertically up palm trees. Already 6 feet tall. Shit.
Oh, it's so good to know it really works.
Uh-huh. Ruth says, I had a massive crop of tomatoes last year, but awaiting this year, not so much. Love my garden. Get a few chickens while you're at it. We'll go great with the millies. That fucking Joe Camino ruins my day. Imagine living with him. Probably has tomato crates for couches and reads the milk carton for entertainment. Tracy has about 12 avo plants that need to be planted outside. I'll have an avo plantation. Well, listen, avo trees grow very, very big. And the ones that produce avos are enormous. So it's going to take you a long while to get there. But good luck. I mean, that's fun.
Yeah. Lovely.
All right. So there's some useful ideas for you this morning. It's also, I mean, it's basically the last week of November this week. So this weekend coming up is December. And you know how excited we get, December bus. So it's going to be great. I actually saw a little video, which I'll play tomorrow for you because we got Mash on. It was on his Instagram yesterday. And I sent him a message and said, this is hilarious. We've got to play this on the show. So stick around for that one tomorrow. It'll be good fun. Considering it's the last month of the year, I think Christmas decorations are going to go up tomorrow here. So I'll have to rearrange things around the house so that we can look a little more festive and get mm-hmm. the month off to a good start, because I am not going to have time next week or the week after. It's getting kind of busy. I have to say, like, my December is filling up already, which is nice because then I've got a bunch of things to look forward to. But I do want to more or less keep it quiet. I'm kind of at home with the exception of the week between Christmas and New Year. And other than that, I'm also staying at home. So no big trips planned.
Yeah. Even in at one of the companies I work at, you know, we've all had to put in our leave and find cover for everyone who's on leave. But a lot of people are not actually going anywhere. They're just taking some time off, spending it at home.
That's nice. And I mean, isn't it, you know what I'm looking forward to is waking up late. That is such a bonus, like holiday thing for me. I know it sounds so boring, but when you wake up every morning at like 5:30, it's just 5 even most mornings. You get up and you're like, oh, it's so nice to wake up after the sun has come up instead of before. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's just you somehow, there's something that morning sleeps do. You know, if you sleep in the morning, there's something about that that's so much more refreshing than an evening one.
Mm.
Going to sleep early. Something better about waking up late than going to sleep early. It's so nice. And you wake up and you're in that sort of dreamy state and you glide back into sleep and you wake up and, oh, it's the best feeling ever. I love it. All right, so let's look at a couple of news headlines while we're busy with all of this morning. We'll start off with... what do we start off with? Hang on. Here we are. Unqualified people will no longer run municipalities, says the president. Okay. Well, you have to ask yourself, why were they in the first place? You know, it's like, we're going to put you in charge of this nuclear power plant, but you were a domestic worker before that. But don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So he was speaking at Lichtenberg in the Northwest, where he said government had undertaken steps to professionalize the public sector in a bid to improve service delivery. You have to ask, because this seems so obvious, you have to ask what kind of morons in the ANC thought anything else would be appropriate. Like if you're not qualified and you aren't good at what you do, you should never have been in the running anyway, but it shows you how stupid their policies are.
It's like saying back surgeons will now need to have studied back surgery.
Correct. Stupid. Anyway, he was talking about how unqualified people will no longer be heading up municipalities. He said government had undertaken steps to professionalize the public sector. He said government had taken heed of the warnings by the Auditor General. Oh, good. Someone's paying attention. He does not want to see another situation like in the Disobotla municipality in the Northwest, which had its council dissolved by parliament after numerous instances of noncompliance. Now, first of all, parliament isn't that fucking smart. So for them to say that a municipality is so bad they need to dissolve them, can you imagine how bad they were? And I don't even know where this is, somewhere in the Northwest. At one point, the ANC-governed municipality had 2 mayors, 2 speakers, and 2 council whips due to infighting within the party. Ramaphosa said...
Oh, my word.
Yeah, exactly. He said the municipality should serve as a warning to other poorly performing municipalities in the country. So can I just say, this is where we need to be sensible about political office, because all we've got is people jockeying for power here. And there's a very simple solution to this problem. You know me, I'm a solution-oriented guy. So here's the solution. You just pay a whole lot less. You want to be the mayor. You want to be called the mayor. You want to have a mayoral chain and a blue light brigade, and you want to be opening the council, and you want to be cutting ribbons, and you want to be doing all kinds of things. Then you're just going to get paid absolutely fucking nothing. You're going to earn half. Whatever the mayor gets paid at the moment, they must pay half. So
in other words, to encourage people who really want the job out
correct,
of passion
correct.
To and, take the positions.
And people who are not in it for greed. So you immediately, the moment the job pays half of what it's paying at the moment, wherever it is, I don't care which municipality it is. Let's say the mayor earns 100,000 rand a month, which is probably not wrong. Okay, so a mayor's earning 100 grand a month. Just slap half of that back into the fiscus, take a pay cut of 50 grand, and now the mayor's only earning 50 grand a month. That's still a lot of money. Mm. You know, compared to the average South African salary, it's not a lot of money, but it's a lot compared to the average South African salary. So now suddenly the mayor is earning half. You watch, you'll get rid of half of those bastards, the greedy, corrupt, venal, parasitic kind.
Yeah.
Immediately.
No, you're completely right.
So there we go. Cyril, you want a solution? There's a solution. Because the day that you have 2 people, you know, calling themselves mayor, 2 speakers, 2 council whips, that's because you're paying them too much. And they're not the kind of people who will get jobs anywhere else. They're not useful, clever, important and empowering people. They're exactly the opposite. So cut the pay. He says we are
professional. But then the opposite should apply in a good way to people like nurses who are there for the passion of it, and teachers. And they aren't getting paid enough to even survive.
I don't know about this not getting paid enough thing. I mean, teachers, you know, God bless them because they are great teachers, but they're also shit teachers. And teachers, one of the benefits of being a teacher is that you get long holidays. So everything balances in the end. Teachers get lots of time off. Think about it. Every time there's a school holiday, as a teacher, you get that day off too. And that's one of the benefits. You know, you don't also get the pay of a CEO of a multinational corporation if you're a teacher. You don't.
Yeah.
We've got more teachers than we do CEOs because it's easier to qualify as a teacher than to be the CEO of a company. So everything balances in that respect. The private sector must determine its own rates. We can't mess with that. And I agree with you that there are probably jobs that are underpaid, but that's always going to be the case. And it's also a situation of supply and demand. You know, it's probably easier to become a nurse than it is to start a business, for example. So nurses are not going to earn as much as we would like them to earn, but you can't artificially fiddle with that. What you can do is artificially change the pay that you give to politicians. And politicians seem to be the biggest problem we have. Anyway, he says we're going to professionalize things so we get people who are fit for purpose, not Mickey Mouse people who will serve in the municipality, but people with real skills. He said he believes this will reverse the trend of skilled people leaving government for the private sector. Well, Mr. President, if you get this right, I am fully behind you. And you are too, Leanne, right?
Yeah,
let's just get professional people in here. We would love the municipalities to work better.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Psilocybe says they deploy the ANC cadres in areas where they can get kickbacks from the resource-rich areas. Yeah, that's true. Then they're going to steal more, says Mapelo, if we pay them less. I don't think so, hey? I don't think so. We have got to put in different processes for tenders and for government spending. And it's already really difficult because if you've ever done any work with government, you'll know the paperwork is absolutely crippling. Lichtenburg used to be my hometown, was once the most beautiful town in South Africa, says Shani. Really? I've never heard that it was the most beautiful town in South Africa, but you're biased because you're from there. George and Gareth says Sonele, qualified equals being an ANC populist member. And Gareth, we all know the dollar's keeper is just saying that, right? They're never going to actually follow through on the qualifications issue. Well, at least he's making the right noises. You know, Sed says, you guys are quite right, but these guys are unemployable. Well, that's also true. I mean, what are you going to do about it? We can find ways around this. I'm telling you, we also just need to be able to fire people very quickly if they're no good. Oh, wow. Okay. Elon Chief Twat says, Gareth, have you seen that the Chinese people have finally had enough of the CCP and are protesting? It is insane to see the Chinese protesting. Tiananmen Square repeat. Yes, there are videos all over social media. Have you seen them, Leanne?
Yes. I mean, I haven't seen the protesting because of COVID, where people are still locked up in buildings, etc. But I did see the protesting outside one of the biggest iPhone factories in China.
Yep.
And if we think we've seen bad protest action before, this is pretty violent. People, you know, throwing banisters and chairs and really injuring the police.
Yeah.
And relentless. Like, it just seems like it'll never stop and there's no control. Mm-hmm. And huge swathes of people. It's pretty scary.
Well, I think it's fantastic that the people in China finally have, and I hope they aren't, you know, like massacred and shot and beaten, because that is going to happen. You know, the government in China has no understanding of like free speech or popular uprisings. And I love to see this because the Chinese government are really a bunch of dictatorial shitheads. And the government in Beijing, the Chinese Communist Party, is one of the most repressive authoritarian regimes that there are in the world. And you remember there were the Hong Kong protests not so long ago. People are talking about how China is making new moves and all kinds of ugly noises about Taiwan. And I really hope that they don't just subsume Taiwan into the rest of China. But to see this happening in major industrial cities and to see people going, enough. And you know why they've had enough? Because of these stupid zero COVID rules. China is still it's obsessed with trying to completely bring down all COVID numbers. First of all, I don't know who's still testing for this. Someone said to me over the weekend, oh, my sister was diagnosed with COVID. I'm like, but who's testing even right now? It's like the flu. We know that Omicron, which is the variant that is still mostly out there, it's kind of not a big deal. You know, more people got sick from other stuff than from that recently. So if you're testing, I have to ask, well, why? You're obviously paranoid. The Chinese are still testing everybody. They're in very severe lockdown in some parts of China, even now.
Yeah.
It's like three years
to the
later.
Point of really dangerous situations. There was a building with, because you know they come along and they actually lock the exit doors,
mm-hmm.
so that these people can't exit. And there was a fire in a building in China about a week ago, which created a huge problem because people weren't able to escape.
Yeah,
it's like that radical.
Good for I'm with the protesters every step of the way. Every single one. I'm with them. Enough of these authoritarian governments, and especially like China has been held up as this perfect example by people who love the idea of big government. You know, the Global Economic Forum and those shitheads telling us, no, this is China's a shining example of how we should deal with pandemics. No, it isn't. And look at what it's resulted in. So I'm looking forward to the Chinese government feeling uncomfortable for a few more days, and I hope it continues. And power and strength to these protesters, even though they've probably got no hope in hell because the Chinese government is so absolutely awful that they'll just roll tanks over them like they did at Tiananmen Square. My husband has flu, says Beth, and people have asked when he's doing a COVID test. Don't even bother. Don't even bother. Yeah. It's ridiculous. You know, this time last year, we were still talking about this like it was a big deal. Some people were. We never were on this show, but some people were.
Yeah. People who live on the property with me were very ill with flu-like symptoms for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they're an elderly couple as well. So it took them a really long time to get over it. And when I finally saw them again, I said, you know, are you doing better? Have you recovered? And they said, yeah, it was probably COVID. And she kind of shrugged their shoulders. Yeah. They didn't bother being tested. They just waded through the symptoms.
Jamie says that testing is still pretty regular in the US, major cities like LA and New York especially. I don't think it's a big deal, though. Well, it is in those places because they're run by Democrats and they're also paranoid people. I mean, I saw a video yesterday. I can't believe that this is still going on, but I saw a video yesterday someone sent me of a woman. She's also a teacher in America. She's sitting on Zoom on her own in her house with a mask on. I'm like, honey.
Oh, no, that's pathetic.
It's pathetic, right? Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, she's not. Again, people forget the mask is to protect other people.
Well, not even.
So who in her house is she protecting?
Doesn't even do that. They've now done the tests and they figured that all of that was pure theater. There was nothing else. Nothing else. It's ridiculous. Anyway, there was some World Cup stuff over the weekend. I finally watched my first match. I saw Argentina and they played on Saturday evening. And now I think we've got to take on Poland. That was Argentina, Mexico. Now we've got Poland, which is exciting. So I'm finally getting into it. I knew it would happen. I was boring all of last week, but it is the group stage. And, you know, if your team hasn't got a real chance of getting through, you're just like, well, we'll see what happens. But I'm getting into it now, so I'll keep you updated. But still not enough for us to talk about it too much.
Have you seen there were quite a few journalists interested in what the Japanese were doing after their games.
Oh, tidying up. Such great.
Yeah, with the bags and tidying up. And it's just something, you know, they interview people in their 70s who say, I was taught this by my grandparents. So just generations and generations of handing down this. It's almost obvious to them. Totally acceptable.
Well, we talked about it on Friday. And we were saying, like, South Africa would be the opposite. Like, you know, we leave a stadium worse than we found it. The Japanese leave it better. So it is something worth discussing. Respect to the Japanese. Lots of people saying, Mapelo says, last year it was Asiba Happy. What's the festive theme for this year? We've got to still come up with it, Mapelo. I suggest you are put in charge of coming up with a theme. I'm hereby putting Mapelo in charge. All right. Let's see what else is in the headlines. You want another one?
Yep.
Homeschool warning for South Africa report. Ooh, this is from Business Tech. So apparently, principals in South Africa have warned that children returning to traditional school setting after being homeschooled are likely to have a repeat year. You know what would be funny is if kids have been homeschooled and they've actually figured out, like, homeschooling is somehow better than the school system. Citing feedback from several principals, Report newspaper noted that these children would have to be held back because they're far behind. This has a result of children ultimately having to repeat a year of schooling, with the principals noting they may graduate from high school only at the age of 20. According to City Press, virtual schools, which gained popularity during COVID-19, are getting an influx of complaints about the quality of their education. The Department of Basic Education has noted with virtual and online schools, they're seeing high school dropout rates, with traditional school principals reporting an influx of children waiting to return to classrooms. On top of academic challenges, the school said that the returning children also face challenges with a hidden curriculum of socialization and interacting with their peers. The principal said online and virtual schools are better suited to supportive or complementary roles in education. So
that's exactly it. Homeschooling will not work without a parental system in place. If your parents work all day and you're doing this by yourself, it's not going to be effective.
No way.
You have to have parents driving most of it. I mean, I have friends with kids who would have to cut a meeting short because they said, oh, I've got this class starting now, or I've just got to go through the kids' calendar. You have to be hands-on 100% of the time in order for it to work.
No, it's hard work. It's a full-time job. And I don't know that most parents will have got it right, but there are a few who probably did. And those kids will come out even better. But I think, you know, these principals probably make a good point, because even though the Department of Basic Education is quite shit, it's still better than unsupervised kids just, you know, running amok at home and pretending that they were at virtual school. That's just not how it goes. So we'll work. Seeing is believing, right? And I also think that, you know, people have a lot to say about homeschooling, but until you've actually done it as a parent, you really don't have much of a place to talk about this. And of course, our normal schools are so shit in South Africa that, you know, there are probably a lot of kids who come out exactly the same, whether they were homeschooled or sent to actual schools. Normal schooling is, according to some people, really, really bad, though. So you're going to have different reports from both. If I were a parent, sure, I don't know what I'd choose, but I don't know that I trust the normal education system enough, because I think it is just populated with some really average people. And I also don't know whether I'd be able to take on the responsibility of homeschooling my kids myself. It's a tough decision. And of course, for some parents, there's no decision, because they don't have time. They just do not have the time to also be their kids' teachers. This is another reason why parenting is hard. Virtual school is not homeschooling, says Beth. No, I agree. But obviously the principals at these schools are going to be saying homeschooling's bad. Obviously, because they want to be seen as good. Bravo to parents who do homeschooling well. Absolutely. And there are people who've done very, very good homeschooling with their kids. In international news, in London, three white guys made a black man sit and sign papers this week. What's that all about? I'm not sure exactly what that means. Yeah, so maybe you want to clear that up. Corona's boring. The decision to homeschool your child is a massive commitment, says Tracy. Absolutely. Why is Leanne's name misspelled as Lee-ass? Well, that's what we call her, Nicolene.
That's how it's spelled.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
It was decided many, many moons ago.
Right. Sorry about this, that you've only caught on now. South Africa has a new multi-millionaire. Apparently, the Lotto Plus 2 jackpot was won. So somebody somewhere won, how much was it? 6,427,928 rand and 70 cents.
That'll sort out a few problems.
Yeah. And
bring some of it their own.
Yeah, sure. The next draw will take place with an expected jackpot of just a million. So watch everybody stay away from that one. But yeah, 6.427 million. It's not a huge payout. You hear about these European lottery payouts, which are enormous, right?
Yeah, like 500,000. No, what, $5 million.
No, they go into the hundreds of millions even. And here we are with like 6 million rand. Ka-ching. Anyway, look, it's still a lot of money. And I think it would solve a lot of people's problems, including, you know, me, you, everyone, Leanne. Who wouldn't want that? Sudden cash injection of 6 million. Cunning Stunt says that lotto money will be gone within a year. Unfortunately, that is true. Because what happens is people tell other people that they've won. And then suddenly you have family that you didn't know you had crawling out of the woodwork. Suddenly you have friends who are, you know, if you could just help me, because now they know that you've got the money. So if you could just, you know, forward me to 10,000. And before you know it, you're in huge shit and your money's depleted immediately. El Gordo is a billion. That's amazing. That's the Spanish lotto, isn't it? Psilocybe. El Gordo. Yeah. Means the big one. How did this person purchase the ticket? I don't know, Ancient Ether. I'm not, what do I look like, the lottery news? I just know the amount. That's all I've got. All right, it's time to check in with Dr. Hanan. So it's going to be okay with Dr. Hanan Bushkin. He's our renowned psychologist. He's the head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. And we're going to talk to him about something which I think is probably a bigger deal than people are willing to admit. It's this time of year that people get very, very depressed. They're burnt out. They're tired. It's been a long year. Also, some people don't get as excited about Christmas and the holidays as I do. I feel like it's a boost to me, but some people feel it's a real drain. You know, they have to see family. They have to take part in social events that they may not be ready for. There are a lot of things about this time of year that aren't straightforward, right, Leanne?
Yeah. It's the final push, and sometimes it's too much for some people.
Right. So we've got to be very upfront and straightforward and honest about these things. A friend of mine, not so long ago, back in August, said to me she was going to check herself into one of these facilities, like a mental health institution, you could call it. Hey, Doc. Sorry, I wasn't meant to bring you up there. There's Dr. Hanan.
Hi, guys.
So we're just talking about this time of year and how, you know, it can be very stressful. It's not all happy and holidays and relaxing and being with people you really want to be with and all that stuff. For some people, there's enormous pressure at this time of year. And I was telling Leanne about a friend of mine who checked herself into essentially a mental hospital. She went in there. It's one of these places that you can – what do they call it? You voluntarily check into these inpatient programs. In like 3 weeks. And she went in and she decided she needed to take control of her life again. She wasn't being, you know, flippant and silly about it. It wasn't like a decision that she made on a whim. And she checked in for 3 weeks and she came out and she said it really did her the world of good. And that was all the way back in August. But I suspect there are many people who don't get to take off time in the middle of the year. For many people now, this is the only time of year where they actually get to do a little self-analysis and figure out whether they can do this. Also, you have to be able to pay for this kind of thing. It isn't for free. And I wonder what you think of people who do that, who check themselves into these places, whether you think that's a good idea.
So, first of all, it is a very difficult time of year. This is the time where people connect and go on holiday and connect with their loved ones. And some people don't have loved ones. They don't have a partner at home. They might not have extended families. They might not be able to get to their families that might be living somewhere else. So this is a very joyous time for some and an incredibly lonely time for others. So it's whatever it is that you were going through, it is exacerbated. So if you were going through some level of anxiety, it's exacerbated during this year. If you were going through some level of depression, it's exacerbated through this year, because what ends up happening if you don't have loved ones that calibrate you, you end up going into your own echo chamber, which can be incredibly traumatic. You know, I saw this meme a couple of months ago. It was a picture of a white room, and under this picture there was a question: would you live in this room for 1 year for $1 billion? And the answer for myself would be I wouldn't do it for 1 week for all the money in the world. And the reason why is because a week later you go crazy, you actually lose your mind. We need people to calibrate us. So people that go, well, I don't need people, well, you do need people.
Right.
We need people that actually center us. But the question is actually engaging with the right people, because the wrong people can really unsettle you, hence toxic relationships. The right people can really center you and make you feel in control. So going back to this time of year, this is a time of year where a lot of people are obviously meeting loved ones or engaging with people that love them and engaging with healthy individuals. And some people don't have that. And even your work colleagues can calibrate you. And now that you're off work, perhaps you're going on holiday or you're having a break from work, that can really unsettle you too, because again, you don't have your familiar structure and your familiar routine, which is also an incredible way to calibrate. Structure calibrates us. Routine calibrates us. Having things to do, having a carrot to chase calibrates us, gives us a sense of purpose. So what ends up happening is people get uncalibrated, and some people turn into these rehab facilities, which are incredibly expensive. But the question, to answer your question, is it right? Is it wrong? Well, I always ask people is, well, the first question that I ask people is, why are you doing it? What's the goal in the first place? And is this the best way to satisfy that goal? So rehab can be really good for certain reasons, and it can be really unhelpful for others. So if you feel that you're not coping and you need a break from life and you want to get educated and you feel that you can't do and get over whatever it is that you're going through on your own, then rehab can be incredibly effective. But one of the things that we have to consider, guys, is that rehab is not life. You still have to go back to life. So rehab doesn't fix your life. You have to go back to your life and fix your life. So if, for example, I'm having marriage problems and I go into rehab, rehab might educate me on how to maybe deal with communication or maybe how to manage my environment in a better way, but I still have to go back home and manage my marriage. If I'm having work conflict issues, rehab might teach me how to communicate better and maybe how to set boundaries, but I still have to go back to life and engage with my issues. Remember, life is not an intellectual pursuit. Life is an experiential one. I can teach you how to ride a bicycle all I want intellectually, but unless you go out and really practice it experientially, you're never going to be good at riding a bicycle. Think even about your work, Gareth. I mean, if somebody came up to you and did a year's course on how to run a podcast, you can teach them all you know, but actually it's the real experience that will teach them the finer details of running a podcast. And anything in life that's valuable, there is an experience element to it as opposed to just an intellectual pursuit. Right. So just take that into account when you're going into these rehabs.
I want to know, though, you call it a rehab, but is that really what it is? Because I also understand that there are some people who go in not because they need to be weaned off of a substance or something, because that's immediately what I think when I think of rehab. And it might be to deal with stress or to, you know, to kind of figure out their own mental health issue, whatever it might be, a depression, some kind of anxiety problem, whatever it is. Are there things that these courses, these check-in facilities can do for you that you would regard as being quite useful and worthwhile?
So one thing that they do offer, so yes, we call them rehabs, but you can go into these facilities for a number of reasons. It could be for drugs, it could be for alcohol, it could be for any form of an addiction, or it could be just to manage life stresses.
Mm.
And they have a lot of different multidisciplinary team in them, from art therapists to psychiatrists to psychologists to some of them have physical therapies as well. Some of them are really well run. But again, what are you going in them into these facilities for? So one thing that they do offer is two things. If you don't have a major, let's call it addiction, one is they offer you structure that you might not have in your own home. So you might wake up and not know what to do, which can be very unsettling, but there you literally are busy from morning to night. And two, they offer these professionals that you might not have access to in your daily life, or you might not even know where to start. So they have them all like a one place where you can find all these professionals are concentrated in that environment.
Right.
So that can offer you kind of ease of access to these really highly qualified professionals. But to answer your question, could it be useful for these individuals that are not necessarily going through some form of an addiction? Yes, it can be. But again, if you're looking for art therapy, you could actually get it in a much cheaper way at a very high quality outside these facilities. If you're looking for a psychiatrist, the same thing. But these facilities do offer you kind of a multidisciplinary professional team.
I love what you said at the beginning. You've got to get on with your actual life afterwards. So you get out of here and then you don't have any of those artificial kind of barriers or assistance or whatever else it is that you have inside of these places. And you have to get out and actually face the real world. A lot of people don't want to face family. Maybe they find this time of year very, very sad and depressing. They feel extra lonely. They have enormous pressure on them. Are there little things that you can do to cope during this time? I mean, there might be someone listening to us now going, oh, I'm just dreading the holidays.
Yeah. So I always go back to basics and ask yourself, are there elements of my world that I can control? We've spoken about this during COVID, during like the massive lockdowns where people are like, oh my God, my world is in chaos. And I kept on saying, well, control what you can, focus on what you can control.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, well, what can I can control? Well, there's plenty that you can control that is incredibly valuable. Your diet, your exercise, your sleep, your routine, the structure in the day, create a sense of purpose, have something to look forward to, build something useful in your life. And when I say build something useful in your life, I mean something as small as, I don't know, do a Lego piece to something big as build a relationship. But create this carrot for you to chase. And people go, what's the point of this creating of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what gives your life purpose. That is what makes you wake up at the end of your life when you've finished life at 120 years old and go and look back and think to yourself, life was meaningful. So that's what keeps us or gets us out of bed. So to answer your question, what can people do whilst perhaps they're not calibrated through other people is focus on elements of your world that you can control and start with a sense of routine. Start with a sense of routine. Literally take out your diary and go, all right, what time am I waking up? What time am I going to bed? And fill in the blanks in between. So fill in the stuff that the days for example, having a breakfast, going for a walk, the weather's quite good outside, so getting some sunlight.
Right.
Perhaps meeting one or two people that it means something to you. If not, create a hobby where you can meet somebody that has a common denominator, a common theme, or something that binds you. Create a new hobby, have a new interest, art, culture, creativity, some level of sport. So fill up your day with things that you can control as opposed to, and this is important, don't find space to be bored and get into your head. There's no reason to be internal. People think because, I mean, some of these terrible self-help books will tell you just find time to sit down and go from within. Ugh. Go inside. Think. Yeah.
Navel gazing. And Doc, They've done research. Yeah. I will be less well placed than you are to reflect on exactly where this research was done or who did it. I don't know. I've just heard it tangentially. But apparently they've figured out that there is absolutely nothing that can distinguish the brain patterns and the way that people think when they're thinking about themselves or when they're depressed. It's the same neural pathways. In other words, when you're sitting there thinking about yourself the whole time, that is exactly the same as all the negative thought processes. You actually have to get out of your own head. Thinking about other things outside, externally, other people, that will make you happy. Being consistently obsessed with yourself is probably the worst thing you can do.
So, Gareth, I'll take it a step further. Listen to this. The only way to get depressed is to go internal. The only way to get anxious is to go internal. If you don't go internal, you cannot be depressed, full stop. If you don't go internal, you cannot be anxious, full stop. For those of you who are listening and are anxious or depressed, think about the times when you're most depressed, when you're most anxious. What are you doing? Well, you're thinking. But the moment, think about times when you're most happy and most fulfilled and most or less, at least depressed or least anxious. What are you doing? Well, you're busy with life. You're engaging with interesting people. You're reading something really interesting in a book. You are creating something. You're doing something. You're achieving something. You're chasing a goal. The only way to be depressed and anxious is to go internal and think. So if we can get people external, I say to people, there's no reason for you to be internal. I tell that to all my patients. It's a life principle that I teach. Do not go inside your head. You're not going to find something useful there. Go external and chase and create. Be outside, because that way you can't be depressed or anxious.
I love that. What do you think of that, Leanne?
Yeah, that's actually a new concept to me. I think because of seeing therapists and, you know, taking medication and family members saying, I wish you would seek help for this or that, I've always seen that as an instruction to go internal. I've always seen that as a direction to go internal, and that going internal is good. So that's a hugely new concept to me, but it makes me excited, actually.
There's no reason to go internal. But, you know, the reason why people don't want to go external is because it requires effort. It requires you to set goals and chase and risk failure.
And, Doc,
don't want to go external.
And we live at a time where everybody is constantly told that the best thing you can do is to reflect and to be internal and to think about yourself and to be even more selfish and to read these stupid self-help books or any of that stuff. The positive reinforcement for looking internal in society is huge, and it's dumb. It helps nobody.
It's silly. It's actually destructive. It's actually incredibly toxic. If you take anything out of today, it is about just going external and create goals that you can chase, that you can find incredibly meaningful. So think about this, Leanne. I'll ask you the same question. Think about times in your world when you were most happy and most fulfilled and felt most alive and most meaningful. I can assure you that is when you were engaging externally. You were creating something beautiful in your work. You were engaging with maybe a meaningful person. You were doing something really meaningful in terms of your life's mission and something that resonates with your spirit. Would you agree that it wasn't you sitting down thinking about the meaning of life?
100%. I mean, immediately I think back to when I was training with friends and family to run a 10K race.
Yeah, exactly.
And running that race, you know, even though because I was the oldest and the most unfit in the group, they were ahead of me in the race and I ran most of it by myself. I was never really alone. I was surrounded by people who felt exactly like me. It was just an amazing feeling. And I often think back to that as a very happy place.
And you know what? It's interesting. I know we're running out of time, but I'll say this. And people will say, yeah, but Hanan Leanne was chasing, but the anxiety was still from within. She was hiding or running away from the anxiety. Nonsense. Anxiety is only created when you go internal. So you weren't hiding the anxiety. You were just creating the anxiety when you go internal. But the moment you go external, that is how you beat it.
I love
it. Absolutely.
All right, listen, this is terrific, and we've all got something to think about now for this morning. I've just got to go back to a comment that was made earlier. You talked about how you wouldn't take $1 billion to sit in a room for a week on your own, Doc. And Carl says, listen, Doc, if you want to win at the Jewish Achievers Awards next year, you better stop telling people to turn down $1 billion. Good point. Very good.
Hold on. Well, I'm just going to take a note of this one second.
Yeah, and he also, Carl's full of good advice here. He says also, there's no reason to go internal. How do you think babies are made, Hanan?
Hold on. Note number two. 1 second.
You see, we all learn from each other on this show. I love it.
Absolutely.
Well, just one quick thing before you go, because I think this is a very valuable point, especially it deserves some reflection at this point in the year. 2 years ago, I was stressed and depressed thanks to the ANC's lockdown rules. End of 2020, I couldn't see family, etc. That's when I became very anti-COVID. The cure was worse than the disease. And for many people, the biggest problem with this time of year is isolation. I'm not talking about COVID here at all, but that gave us all a feeling of what some people go through in December. There are a lot of lonely people. They feel very isolated. Maybe their lives are not so great that they have, you know, someone they can talk to, someone they can go and spend time with. So just keep your head on your shoulders. As Dr. Hanan says, find something meaningful to do, even if it is just you in a room. You can draw, you can write, you can think, you can paint, you can make all kinds of exciting things happen in your life. I went with my two nephews and my parents yesterday to this place where you paint like ceramics. And it's just a really the most fun thing about it was watching my two little nephews and their two different approaches to how they were going to paint these plates that they'd got to decorate. But it was such fun to see them having fun and to see them being creative. And you've got to learn those things at a young age, and you've actually got to encourage it with people of every age. It's a good thing to do. All right, Doc, that's all we got time for this morning, though, and we will catch up with you soon. Thanks for another good week. All right, there he is.
Have a great week, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Dr. Hanan. It is 7 o'clock, well, just after. We'll be back with a whole lot more in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Leanne and I are going to be joined by some guests in the next hour. And, of course, you can be a part of the show as you are right now. You can just join us by going on there and telling us what you're up to.
CliffCentral.com.